Kevin, when I say chamber music, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Ooh, Mozart, maybe classical music?
Could be. Whatever you think about it, we're going to explore it on the 315.
As a public radio listener, we know you have a lot of different interests. And with our slate of podcasts, we try and provide on-demand audio for everyone.
This is Marv Duggar with Science on the Radio.
From contentious public divorces to drunk driving arrests to private rants caught on tape, Hollywood figures are no stranger to the heat of the spotlight.
The NBA Draft Combine starts today, and every Syracuse fan is watching this guy.
Whether it's science, sports, or pop culture, we think you'll find something you can enjoy. Check out our selection of on-demand audio over at WAER.org or in Apple Podcasts by searching for WAER.
Welcome to the 315. I'm Joe Lee.
And I'm Kevin Kloss. Chamber music is a form of classical music that's composed for a small group of instruments, small enough to fit in a small room or chamber.
So who's playing it in Central New York? Where can you hear it? How can you join in? We're here to explore those questions and more with Matt Vandermeer, Assistant Professor of Classics at the College of Arts and Sciences at Syracuse University. He is also the president of the Syracuse Friends of Chamber Music. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here.
So I just want you to imagine that you're sitting at a table talking to a couple of knuckleheads who know absolutely nothing about chamber music. That's how the conversation's going to go. Talk to us a little bit about the description. Did we get that description of chamber music correct?
Yeah, I think that's a very accurate description. So chamber music is indeed music to be performed in a rather small environment. If you look at the history of music, you see that music was always produced with soft instruments to begin with in smaller settings. And a lot of music has been composed for intimate environments. And many people find their way to music through this type of music, chamber music.
Are there benefits to sort of accessing classical music through the small group format rather than throwing yourself into a symphony for the casual fan who wants to get to know the music?
Right. Well, these are, I think, very different types of experiences. And most people, I think, who have not had any exposure to what we call traditionally classical music first will experience symphonic music, which is, of course, a great musical experience. Chamber music has some quality to it that makes it very pure so that you can actually concentrate on different music lines. And the feinschmeckers among classical music lovers, they will find somehow their way always to chamber music.
You talked about experiencing classical music. As you recall, how did you come to appreciate classical music?
Well, I grew up in a family where there was always music. We had a piano. My mother played a piano. And my father had a huge collection of albums. So I always was surrounded by music. And when I was in my teen years, I discovered that this was something I was really myself very interested in, more than modern pop music.
Tell us a little bit about the Syracuse Friends of Chamber Music.
So the Syracuse Friends of Chamber Music, the president of which I currently am, were founded in 1949. There's a connection with Syracuse University in that the founding member, Louis Krasner, was faculty here at SU. And together with a number of colleagues from the music school and beyond, he established this group. And it has been very successful in organizing concerts, 6 to 7 a year ever since. So we are now in our 69th season. Next year will be our big 70th anniversary.
You referenced the founder there, Louis Krasner. I know one of the things he was passionate about was bringing together these internationally known musicians with the talent we have in Syracuse. Is that still a big focus of what you guys are doing?
Yes, definitely. So our focus is actually to get the best of chamber music that is worldwide available to Syracuse. And we are very successful in that mission. Now, a lot of excellent chamber music is being performed and developed here in the U.S. itself, but we definitely also invite always international groups. So, for instance, this season we get the Schumann Quartet from Cologne in Germany. Last year we had the Trio con Brio from Copenhagen, Denmark. So every year I think at least one or two groups are from abroad.
And where do the performances take place?
The performances take place in the W.H. Smith School that is adjacent to Le Moyne College on Salt Springs Road.
Okay. And what room is that? Is it a small chamber?
Well, yeah, not quite. So we have there this auditorium. It seats about 500 people. It's still small enough to convey that chamber feeling and the chamber music acoustics that you want to have with this type of smaller ensembles.
And do you yourself play an instrument?
Well, I dabble around on the piano, but it's really nothing to sort of be proud of. I am actually a better singer than a pianist.
Are there programs that reach out to youth to introduce chamber music to a younger generation?
On the part of our group itself, yes. So we have a youth competition. So groups from schools or music schools are invited to participate in it. Schools from the area and beyond. So this includes Rochester. This is an annual competition that is intended to further chamber music among the young. We are currently developing plans to have members of ensembles that we invite for concerts to come earlier and do workshops or presentations in schools. We have done that in the past. It involves a lot of organization, and since we are an all-volunteer organization, it's not easy to do that, but it's part of our mission, so we are definitely looking into developing that further.
On a local scale, are there other maybe societies or organizations that you're able to sort of partner with to really help promote classical music overall in the community?
Yeah, definitely. We have sister organizations like the Society for New Music and the Civic Morning Musical Group that also organize on a totally volunteer basis. So we do partner with them by having deals for our subscribers to go to their concerts at a reduced price. We cooperate together sometimes in terms of advertisement. So yeah, there are those connections.
And how does the community respond to classical music? Are people coming out to support this?
Yeah, we have people from far and wide who come to our concerts and subscribe or have been subscribing on an annual basis. Our next concert this very Saturday, performed by the Emerson Quartet, attracts people from as far as Toronto and from Pennsylvania. So there is a huge appreciation and demand for this type of music, in spite of the fact that it's also getting slightly harder to attract a younger audience or to help us transition from audience that's partly still days from the years of origin into a totally new and younger audience of our days.
Are there programmatic ways to address that concern? Are there groups that perform that maybe take the classical style of performing married with perhaps more contemporary music?
Yes. So we do invite not only the more traditional type of chamber music concerts, but we also do more experimental activities. So last year we had ensemble from New York City, all wind instruments with very jazzy music, which appealed to definitely a younger audience as well.
So you mentioned your 69th season. It's starting this month. Mm-hmm. What's a typical run? So your season starts in October, and you guys are having performances until when?
Until mid-May. Sometimes we start earlier. It all depends on what types of arrangements we can make with the ensembles. So September or late September until sometime mid-May, that's how long our season runs. We have 7 concerts. 6 of them are performed by national and international groups, and the midwinter concert, so this is not the 7th in the row, but the 7th in terms of our organization, takes place in late January or early February, which is a concert being performed by local musicians, many of whom are in a Symphoria Orchestra. We have this additional concert that was later added to the series, partly out of logistical reasons, because midst of winter, there is a risk that because of snow and ice, groups cannot reach Syracuse, but also because we want to further and support local musicians here in the Syracuse area.
How are the shows developed? Did you invite artists and they come with their own sort of set list, or do you take on themes?
No, we don't take on greater themes. You know, as a small all-volunteer organization with a limited budget, we cannot sort of doctor out our own theme first and sort of look for matching groups. No, we really have to negotiate with the groups themselves and see what is it that they're going to want to play and when would they be able to come. Can we afford them to hire them to come to us? And that sort of dictates the program. So unfortunately, we cannot.
Okay. So if I wanted to hear a chamber group just do a whole evening of Game of Thrones music, probably not going to happen.
No. Then probably you want to talk to the people of Symphoria who do the pop concert series.
What do you want our listeners to take away from this conversation? Those that are not familiar with chamber music, haven't been to a chamber music concert, what is it that you want them to know?
Well, I would like to let them know that once you discover that this type of music exists, it opens totally new horizons and dimensions in terms of your appreciation of classical music. I myself came quite late to this type of music, and perhaps even sort of forced by the circumstances, because I never really engaged with chamber music until I came to Syracuse. I came here in the year 2007, and in order to sort of see what's going on, I and my partner ran into this series, and we immediately fell in love with this type of music. So it can come as a surprise, and once you discover it, it really doesn't let you go any longer. So we have 7 concerts of world quality here in Syracuse every year at tremendously affordable prices. So single tickets are $25. If you see the same ensembles in a city like New York, you will pay 6-7 times as much. It's really something very valuable that we have in the Syracuse area with the Syracuse Friends of Chamber Music.
What's your favorite piece of chamber music to listen to?
I totally appreciate actually one of the pieces that will be performed this very Saturday, the Beethoven String Quartet Opus 59. So if you could let us hear that, that would be wonderful.
Let's take a listen. So what is it about that piece that you enjoy most?
Well, Beethoven is always full of surprises. He sticks somehow to very predictable patterns, and the moment you think now he's gonna move in a certain direction, he'll take you in a totally different mood and a rhythm, and it's really remarkably vibrant and vivid, so that it never gets boring.
If people want to find out more about your local performances and performance schedule, how can they get that information?
Well, they can find us on the internet by going to Syracuse Friends of Chamber Music in one word. So syracusefriendsofchambermusic.org. And there's the website where you see the program and you can purchase tickets right there. So that's the best venue to find us.
Well, thank you for coming to talk to us about the Syracuse Friends of chamber music in general. We certainly do appreciate you being here. And we invite you to go out there and discover some new music out in our community, whether it's chamber music, classical music, jazz, pop, whatever you do, get out, enjoy a lot of what the Syracuse area has to offer.
And speaking of what the Syracuse area has to offer, you can find past episodes of the 315 at WAER.org, and you can connect with the show on Facebook by searching for the 315 CNY. I'm Kevin Kloss.
And I'm Joe Lee. Until next time.